Now with me this morning is Laura Toop, and Laura comes in regularly on the fourth Monday of every month, and we look at different issues. Today we're looking at the nothingness of grief. Now that may sound strange, so Laura's going to explain to us what the nothingness of grief is. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
Hang on. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, John.
That's better. We've got your microphone on now.
Oh, helpful.
Every week I do that.
So what is the nothingness of grief? I guess it's that sort of sensation of feeling like you're drifting. You suddenly realise actually how structured life is, whether it's, you know, getting up to go to work, getting up to take children to school, and then suddenly you start wondering, what's the point? And you find yourself just almost sort of kind of being carried along with this sort of huge emptiness. And as I say, I describe it as the nothingness of grief. And you really have to force yourself to do little steps in order to kind of push through this nothingness. And I think especially coming into, you know, the summer holidays, when, you know, you look ahead and you kind of go, well, 6-8 weeks filled with emptiness, things that you would have done with somebody previously who'd been in your life. And I know, you know, we've talked before, John, about, you know, actually really having to force ourselves to get up, to go and take a walk, to go and have a coffee, to arrange to meet somebody, in order to push through this sort of nothingness. So, yeah, I think for me it's what do you do with that nothingness so that actually you do get up every single morning and feel that there is a reason to be moving forward.
Yeah, we both come from a similar perspective, is that we both believe we've lost people we've loved.
Yeah.
But that's not the only form of grief where there's nothingness in, is it?
No, and I think this is the thing, is that, you know, a lot of people recently have been saying to me, I just feel like, you know, there's so much going on at the moment and I feel quite isolated with it and I'm not keeping up with where stuff is going. And it's just all just feels relentless, and I'm just, even to get up to do the basic stuff. I mean, grief, the way I describe grief is that it's the myriad of emotions that happens when something doesn't go to plan, as expected, hoped, or disappears completely, as in the case of yourself and I, where we've lost a partner. So, you know, we set ourselves these goals in life where we're working towards things, and then, you know, we suddenly realise that either we've achieved it or we haven't achieved it, and or it wasn't quite what we wanted, and it throws us into this space of overwhelm, chaos, and all of these emotions together, collectively called grief, just give you this sensation of feeling like there is nothing, and because it's so unstructured. So for me, it's very much about, well, what can we do to build that structure from the ground up, to get little steps that can get us moving forward.
It's how do we take back control in some respect?
Yeah, it is. Because I think what you realise is that actually how little you are able to control. And, you know, really the only thing you can control is yourself. You can perhaps influence others, but at the end of the day, that is all you can do. The only thing you can control is your reaction, your response, your emotions to something. And it is in taking back the little steps to build up to something bigger.
In a couple of minutes, we'll come back to this, but there's that feeling of being helpless, and I think at the moment there are a lot of people helpless because they can't afford things because everything's gone up. Now that's another form of grief and distress, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Well, let's explore that when we come back. Big fan of Cool and the Gang here on West Kent today with me, John Butt, and Laura Toop. And before the break, before the call of the gang, we were just talking about the nothingness of grief. And while that was playing, Laura and I were talking, saying, well, situation is not good for many people. They've had flights cancelled, holidays mucked up, finances gone to rack and ruin because of the increase in food costs and fuel costs. Many people are on food banks. Everything seems to be out of our own control. How can we cope with that? Now, Laura's got some excellent advice for us. She's looking panic-stricken and smiling as we say that. So, you know, when things are not within our control, how can we cope with that?
I think what we have to recognise, firstly, is it all starts with us. And when we can't control these other things, we have to focus on the stuff within us that we can control. And that is, you know, we can focus on our emotions and how we respond to these situations. We can relook at budgets and see how we can work things. What is essential, what is not essential, and what is the feeling that we want to have. So, you know, often take when the pandemic hit, you know, people were suddenly disconnected from families and everything, and so there was a form of grief then with what they couldn't have and what they expected. The desire, for example, to feel connected, well, there's probably other ways that we can connect. And so, of course, then suddenly became everybody was Zooming. Now, I know it's not a complete replacement, but you're still connecting with people. And I think it's that ability to understand what it is, the feeling that we want to have, and what other options are there that we can take that's within our control to still get that feeling. And so for me, it's, you know, there are simple things that we can do, but it starts with ourselves.
Yeah, I looked at my expenses a few weeks ago, and so one of the first things I stopped was my newspaper subscription.
Yeah.
And that was costing me £67 a month. And I thought, well, that's £67 a month, yeah, I'm not spending out. And of course, Netflix have been in the news saying that the number of subscribers has gone down.
Yeah.
People can't afford it. Sky have not released any figures yet, but I would imagine that probably some of their figures are going down as well.
Oh, I absolutely. I think it will be true of most things where we would see them as non-essential. You know, we don't need all the mega packages on Sky, whatever, Virgin, whichever provider you use, because are we actually using it? And we're just having to question ourselves more about the choices that we're making.
And yet, on the other hand, the number of people smoking and drinking is increasing. And that's expensive as well. What is that saying about our mental well-being?
Well, it suggests that is where we're going to in order to effectively escape the nothingness of grief that's going on. And these are things that allow us little luxuries, as it were, or escapism. You know,
because some people will say cigarettes are a necessity. Other people will say it's a health hazard. Well, we all know it's a health hazard.
Yeah.
It can cause cancer. And I could be very controversial here and say that if people are taking up smoking because they can't cope, is it an attempt at suicide? I'll leave that one hanging, I think. I think we'll play a track and come back.
Yeah.
That one. Harry Styles, As It Was and As It Is. This is West Kent today with me, John Butt, and Laura Toop is my guest this morning. We're looking at the nothingness of grief. And I mentioned, well, I spoke a bit controversially about one of the ways of coping is for people to smoke or drink. And we looked up, and one of the biggest causes of death for men under 34 is suicide. There are all sorts of things that we do. We start gambling, binge eating, not eating, trying to not cope with our emotions.
Yeah.
So how do we face up to our emotions without it making us a complete and utter wreck?
Well, I think we can only run so far away from our emotions because our emotions are part of us. Trust me, I have tried. I think certainly taking the time out from the busyness of the world to sit down and just acknowledge where you're at and what you're feeling is, you don't have to reclaim it to the world, you know, you don't have to go and necessarily see some, just even writing something down, and literally, you know, the first step is absolutely to acknowledge where you're at and how you're feeling. Then you can start turning that into something about, well, what is it that you want to feel? And quite often the emotions are not necessarily positive, but let's say you feel angry. If you start peeling back the layers of what's that anger really about, let me give you an example. So when my husband died, I was very angry with him, amongst a load of other things. But when I got boiled down, what was that anger really about? It was the fact that the last few days were so rapid, there was a lack of communication with me, and I felt left out. And when I realised that, and I realised it was about, I wanted to be openly and honestly communicated to, I could then take actions to ensure that I did do that going forward.
Who wasn't communicating with you?
So it was mainly my husband, because he sunk his head in the sand a little bit over certain things with regards to his finances, which meant that it was incredibly difficult for me to try and sort out paperwork at the 11th hour when I knew the demise was happening so rapidly by this stage. And so there I was after he'd gone, then, you know, with no passwords, access to bank accounts and stuff like that. So it was a lack of communication between us on these quite important things that left me feeling angry. But as I say, by taking the time to acknowledge where are you now and how are you feeling, that is the important step. You can't start acting without acknowledging first. You know, otherwise, effectively, I could say to you, John, well, I'm handing you a spanner. And then you'll go, but Laura, I'm hanging up a picture. I need a hammer, not a spanner. And that's what I mean. How can I give you the right tools if you haven't acknowledged what it is you're dealing with first? Because otherwise, all the other actions are relatively futile and just busyness, really.
Anger is a strange emotion. There have been times when I've woken up in the morning and I feel absolute CRAP.
Yeah.
And I get angry about that, and I don't know why I'm angry, and I don't know what I can do about it. So I will storm around and bang with breakfast dishes and goodness knows what else. And I don't know what is wrong. And you're telling me I need to peel back and find out what is wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm in a state of confusion. I don't know what is wrong. All I know is I don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel crap. I just want to be, out of this blue fug.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And I don't get me wrong. It took me time to to peel back the layers for that and constantly asking myself the questions, what's really going on here? You know, what is the anger associated with? You know, I mean, for me, I think there was probably an element of anger of, you know, I should be enjoying life, you know, which is sort of a slightly contradictory sort of feeling, but, you know, you've lost somebody and now you're there living and, you know, my husband said to me, you know, don't want two lives to have been lost to this. And so there was a part of me that was, you know, slightly angry, the fact that I should be getting up, but, you know, the expectation that should be doing something. And I found I get angry with myself over that. Why can't I just relax about it? And, you know, today I don't feel particularly great. But I think we put ourselves in quite a lot of, or under quite a lot of pressure and expectation of what we should be doing.
I think one of the things that got me through was the fact that I did have to get up and get the newspaper before they sold out.
Yeah.
I don't have that worry now. But with my wife's death, I just retired as the cancer really took grip and it was running to and fro the hospital. And then I realised, once we got to arrange the funeral,
yeah,
I had no purpose in life.
Yeah.
I had nothing to get up for.
Yeah.
I had nothing on my mind to go and do anything. And, of course, it was in lockdown and there wasn't a lot I could do.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody offered me their dog to take for a walk. No, thank you.
No.
And somebody suggested I do gardening. No, I've been avoiding gardening all my life. I wanted I wanted something that I perhaps could enjoy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily need to go out. Of course, great cricket fan, so I could watch the cricket.
Yeah.
But it was extremely lonely.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people who still feel that today. I want to explore that in a couple of minutes when we come back about other forms of grief and loss where we feel helpless, and that could be redundancy, losing our jobs, losing income.
Yeah.
With me, John Barton, my guest, Laura Took. When we're talking about the nothingness within grief, and while music's been playing, we've been having an interesting conversation, and saying that grief is just a five-letter word?
Yes.
Yeah, I got that right. I never did well at maths. But it covers a whole range of emotions and situations. And at the moment, people are feeling the pinch because not only has cost of living gone up, but there are some who are losing their jobs or their business has collapsed.
Yeah.
And they're going through these emotions as well. Can you give us some guidance on what they're going through?
I mean, as you rightly say, John, it's grief. You know, it's only five letters, but actually it's a whole raft of emotions. And again, you know, as I was saying before, the important thing is you can't just push on through. Something has materially changed versus what you'd expected or hoped, or it's disappeared completely. You know, so you take the business bankruptcy, you take, you know, the loss of a job. That's not expected. It's not as you'd planned. It's thrown you into effectively this sort of maelstrom of emotions that have got a load of unanswered questions, you know, not least because you're fretting about, well, how am I going to pay the bills? What am I going to do? What's the job I'm going to do? You're sending yourself into this sort of spiral. The spiral is not going to change by just pushing on through. The spiral only starts to change when you start to, what I call it, ground it. And you ground it by acknowledging where you're at, what you're feeling, and start to pick back those layers. It sounds quite simple, but the reality is it's not as simple as that because it's emotions. But if you just literally I don't know, grab a piece of paper and start, as I call it, musing with a piece of paper. Now, not everybody, you know, likes to talk, not everybody likes to write, but there are many ways that we can express our emotions, and I often refer to them as self-expression beyond words. So whether it's through photography, whether it is, you know, through dance, through, you know, music, all of these things allow us to express something, and to kind of deal with where we are at right now. And, you know, I know, you know, talking with others, you know, there's a huge raft of things that people do. Even if it's just a simple taking photos with your phone as you're going for a walk, you're capturing a moment, you're capturing an emotion that you're feeling in that minute. And it can be immensely cathartic to do that. And it can start to get the process of acknowledging where you're at. But as I say, you have to start with the what am I feeling before you can start with the acting and the doing. Otherwise, your doing might not necessarily achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah. The problem people listening are shouting at us by now saying, well, there's a lot of practical help available, yes. Citizens' advice, counselling for hospice, all sorts of things that are there to help us at different stages. But it's the treatment, our own treatment in dealing with our emotions, because we're the only ones who can do that.
Yeah.
And not making the mistake of looking for ways out. You know, not wake up in the morning feeling really, really rotten and grabbing a cigarette because that's the only way to cope.
Yeah.
That's not the way. And we were talking in the break saying that having both lost our partners, one of the key things immediately afterwards is that loss of intimacy.
Yeah.
That touch of the person you love, you know, cuddle or whatever. And no one, particularly during lockdown, you're not going to be replaced. You are emotionally involved in that feeling, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And there's no answer to that.
No, and there isn't, John. I think that's exactly the point. I think you have to acknowledge that there is a lack of intimacy. There's the lack of somebody, I call it momentum, but sort of chivering you on if you're having one of your meh moments. He says, oh, come on, you know, and then gets you going, and then together you're doing something. So I think that's probably one of the hardest things to maintain is momentum, and it's where I see most people challenged. But I think that's where I do recognise that as an individual I have to go out more often to arrange things, because otherwise nothing would happen. But doing one thing each day, I never try to do loads and loads of things, but one thing each day that gets me up to do something to move me forward. I will book to see friends for coffee to get me out of the house, because it's you're setting something out, you're setting up for what's an obligation to somebody else, which gets you out of the house. Doesn't necessarily, you know, replace the intimacy, but it does, however, allow you to start building some level of momentum and purpose, you know, something that you mentioned before, John.
Yeah, it's being able to communicate with somebody face to face. You know, we're out of lockdown now, though COVID again is on the increase with another strain. But during that time, we were all suffering because we couldn't meet anybody.
Yeah.
Or if it was out through a window. you know, that's not an easy way to cope with things.
No.
So we're up to 10 to 11. We're going to come back in a few moments and we will finish off this morning's conversation. This is John Bart, and with me Laura too. We've been talking about the nothingness in grief, and we're just going to sort of round things up now and say, well, where does the healing begin? Who does it start with? Laura? No, it doesn't start with Laura, but she's going to tell us.
It starts with ourselves, John. You know, I think we have to recognise that it all starts here with us, in ourselves, in our acknowledging where we're at. And it is, there is no time frame to it, because only you know what has caused the grief, etc. And so it, yes, we can seek support by talking to others, etc. But at the end of the day, it is a choice that we make as to being able to find purpose, to get on, to move on. You find a way through it. I'm not saying you get over it, which is often used, because you don't get over it, because it's fundamentally changed who you are and what matters most to you. But you can find a new path.
And I think the biggest thing is that we get suddenly thrust into this without any preparation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like being thrown into the deep end, the swimming pool, not knowing how to swim.
Absolutely. We're thrown instantly into a world we hadn't asked for, don't recognise, don't want, and don't know how to navigate.
I was going to play Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, but I don't think I'll bother. Well, thank you, Laura, for coming in again and for an interesting topic, something that we can both relate to, and I'm sure many of our listeners will. And you're back again next month as well.
I will be indeed.
And if you want to listen again, it will be on our website, hopefully on Friday, because I came totally unprepared this morning. I got up too early to put my memory stick in the pocket to take it home and edit and stick it up. But if you want to contact us at all, it's studio@westkentradio.co.uk. And if you have any questions for Laura, we can pass them on. And we'll have her contact details on the website with another absolutely stunning photograph of her. Oh, after the 11 o'clock news, we have the Bee Gees and U2 and Haim. And I shall be following the cricket, because hopefully England will win before lunch. But the boss is not letting me off early to go and watch it, so I've got to keep an eye on the web page. So, thank you, Laura.
Thank you, John.
And if there is anything people want to raise, yes, do email us and we will pass them to Laura and we will get back to you.